Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everybody, let's hang tight and look for landing radar.
Flight guns.
No guidance.
We'll need that landing radar by 18,000 with this soundtrack.
Roger.
On the pings.
Roger, I copy guidance. Okay, we got data back.
Radar flight looks good.
Roger.
2,000 feet.
Roger. 2,000 foot del H. I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you had for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yawing fine.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
GNC.
Go.
Econ.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom. We're go to continue. PDI.
Coming to you live from the ghost-filled Sierra Nevada gold country in Shingle Springs, California, this is your host, John Almada. It's a special midweek edition of Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and so we're just on the air to talk a little bit about some good friends of mine, Bob and Summer Jennings, who are running the Odyssey Star events, found themselves suddenly thrust into the limelight by having to take over from a gentleman by the name of Brent Fair, who up and disappeared in the middle of all these events that people had paid for. And so that is currently being investigated by the United States Department of Justice, as I seem to understand. If somebody knows better, then correct me, but I was aware there are authorities investigating this man. And the special announcement I did get from Bob, I've been staying in touch with him, and we've been kind of his voice on the radio since he's so busy with everything else, trying to get to the current event on the Hornet, which I'm going to be attending. And I was one of the victims. That's why I'm so interested in all of this. I actually had my money also taken. And this has all been fixed by Bob and Summer. They've stepped up to the plate to fix this and have done a heck of a job. And so we're looking at this is still a go. Looks like there's going to be probably a little traffic issue of all things. So Bob gave me this email, and what's basically changed in the last several days is that there's been a director's meeting for Odyssey Star, and Brent Fair has been removed officially from the Odyssey Star Productions group, and the Bob has become the president. So Bob is in charge now, and I think he'll be able to get control of the assets of the group, including the other websites. Now, for those of you interested, if you go out to the Ghost Rider Paranormal site, you'll see kind of our feature article for the remainder of the week is going to be the event updates article that's at the very front. And the two links to remember, even if you don't get there, is www.hauntedhornetblogspot.com, if I can say that right. And the other event, which is going to be the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum later on this month, it's already September, www.scareasylum.blogspot.com. So both these events are well under control now, and it looks like they're both going to go off basically without a hitch. And these folks have done an amazing job taking what was a confusing, very tough situation and stepping in. And not only that, I want to thank the whole paranormal community for stepping up to the plate and dealing with this. So a lot of our folks that are keeping track of this are checking into it on the archive shows, by the way. So do feel free to tell your friends to tune in and go check us out on the archives and keep track of what's happening. We'll be doing another show on Thursday, just prior to the event, 2 days prior, to do any final updates. But what I did get from him on this one little item here for the Hornet event is that he was looking forward to seeing me on Saturday, and I him, and he's also saying that the Bay Bridge will be closed this weekend. Of all things, they would close the Bay Bridge on the Labor Day holiday. Now, that's brilliant. So I can only imagine the traffic, and so I'm going to be reexamining my route and maybe taking another way in to get to Oakland area and over to Alameda, because I know what kind of traffic I'm going to be running into, and it will not be pleasant. So I may have to leave a lot earlier than I had anticipated to get to Alameda and enjoy myself aboard Hornet. And that'll be my third time aboard the ship. It's a pretty haunted darn place, let me tell you. I get great EVPs every time I'm there. And if you go out to the Ghost Rider Paranormal site, it's paranormal.ghost-rider-investigations.com, and you hit our gallery. You can go down in there and see photos and also all the EVPs. We have a huge, huge collection of EVPs that we've picked up over the last year or so of our operations. And we've got some from Hornet. And there's a bunch I haven't posted yet from our July expedition that we had out there. And of all things, we got some really good stuff in the sick bay. And the sick bay had just an amazing amount of activity. So we're going to post some of those and do a little bit of a show about that this coming Friday, and we're going to be having Spencer Hughes. I've got to get in contact with that man from Fox Across America. He's going to be with us, and he was one of the people I hunted with in July aboard USS Hornet. So it's definitely a Hornet kind of week. Got our mind on that, and it's going to be looking good. Hi to everybody in the chat room. We see Chuck M, I think, and Tapser Frank. I can't say that. That's Taz PRS Frank. So hello, Frank. How you doing? Good to see you there. And anyway, we're going to go ahead and also, now that we've kind of gotten the public service stuff out of the way, and I don't mean to say it in a bad way, but it's not even a bad way, but we're just saying, you know, we've got it done. And we're going to go ahead and read the links off one more time later before the show ends at 9 o'clock here in the Pacific side of things. But we're going to read off a little bit of news and some different things that we've picked up along the way, since this is just sort of an impromptu show that we're doing. I got a letter from Digital Dowsing. I think his name is Bill. I'm trying to find the guy's name. Bill over at Digital Dowsing. I can't remember his last name right off the bat. I had all the show notes and I clipped his name out, but I know his name is Bill. And he's a guy that came up with the ovulus and the paranormal puck and all these things. And he's done an awful lot for the paranormal community with his very good electronics experience and being able to design devices that can detect spiritual activity, that can influence spirits and do all sorts of things. So he has discontinued production of the ovulus. Oh, yeah. Good. Hey, Arizona Paranormal Research Society, good evening. Well, heck, I'm going to have to have you guys on. I like Arizona. I'm from the Southwest myself, my friend. I'm going to have to try to get in contact with you guys. I'm about to have you on the show and talk about Arizona ghosts. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? So I'm writing that down. So if I can pop you a letter, I'm writing that down right now, T-A-V-P-R-S, Frank. So I'll just pop you a note and see. Maybe we can get together and talk a little bit if you're willing to. Anyway, yeah, I've been to Arizona a bunch of times, and I just love the place. It's an amazing spot to hunt. Anyway, we were talking about the events that Bill is over at the digital dowsing has been doing. And he says in his newsletter, before anybody panics, I'm not closing. So I'm not going to read anything else from the article because it's kind of, a copyright thing. But the bottom line is he's still going to be open. He's just retooling his shop and going to do some new types of devices. And for those of us who have bought devices from him before, like me, I have one of his Model 1 Ovulus devices and feel very lucky to have it because there's no more to be made. And so this is going to be an item to get a hold of. You can find them used, and I'm not turning mine loose. Definitely love it. It works very well, and I'm going to be keeping it. But something he did do, and something that if you go out to his website at www.digitaldowsing.com, you will find that he is on the – if you go to www.digitaldowsing.com/em.htm, he is selling the EM pumps that you've been seeing on Ghost Adventures and some of the other shows. For the bargain price of $55, I mean, I got that newsletter from him, and I jumped on the website and immediately bought one. So these things are going to be selling like hotcakes, and he's doing a production run of them. So if you have bought from him before, get out there and get this thing. It's a steal at this price. So, and I'm not even, under any contract or anything with him. I don't make any money off this. So I'm just telling you, I'm just excited to get one. They're shipping out on September 22nd of this year. So just in time for our favorite month of the year, October, for all the hunting out there. And it's a great temperature to hunt at. Things are cool and nice. So, I see you got a link there, my friend, but I'm going to write that down, www.tazps.com. Got it. tazps.com. Make sure I can read my own scratching. You know, I'm a senior webmaster for an aerospace company, and I've been working at that 25 years, and I'm a heck of a good typist, but writing things down is the pits. You actually have to write stuff now and then. Anyway, so Bill is over there doing this, and he's I invited him on the show, and he kind of hinted to me he was not going to be doing appearances anymore or talking about this stuff with folks on the air, and then explained to me he was kind of going into this retooling mode, and then I get this mail the other day from him. And so he's doing a whole bunch of new things. He's doing some stuff with a new film production company. Of all things, he's going into that, and he's going to do some really interesting work. Really fascinating guy, very smart, very, very up-to-date on what's going on, and very plugged into new trends and ideas. So he's going to be doing some things, I guess, with an expanded manual for the Ovulus. So maybe there's some hidden things I don't know about my own Ovulus. I don't know. And, Frank, I wonder if you've got one of those. Do you have an Ovulus in your Arizona Paranormal Research Society? If you do, I'd be interested to hear how it's been going with you. He's going to be doing some things for iPhone, of all things. So there's a bunch of different stuff going on. I'm not going to go into detail of everything, but he's this thing with the EM pump, though, I'm really excited because that's an area where you could actually begin doing some serious experimental work. And I got inspired yesterday and wrote an article on my website about this and came up with the idea of a protocol for doing investigation with an EM pump. And the idea was to basically set the pump up in a spot where you think that there is activity, flip that thing on and have a camera ready to go, have definitely have your EVP recorder running nearby, and also have a tri-field meter up and running. And the only area I'm going to be worried about is if the EM will affect any of these other devices in a negative way. So we have to find that out. But I think it's worth doing for any group out there that gets into this, trying some experimentation on this and doing like 1 hour increment type experiments to see what you get. And also I happen to have one of those, it's a USB temperature recorder, and they're kind of cool. I picked one of those up about March of this year, And they are great because you can program to take samples at some really crazy range of intervals, and you can sample what a particular room is doing as far as temperature goes over a long period of time, and then download the data, and you've got a complete profile of what's happened. So that's another interesting device I think a lot of people should get into, that are doing this kind of work and are really serious about it. And so that's going on. And what's funny is I'm seeing a lot of trends too with the economy is kind of shaking this all out, I think, with a lot of people with regard to the paranormal. You're seeing a lot of groups either kind of dry up, I guess, and blow away with all the things going on, or they're reacting kind of like my group, GRI. We're shifting things around to be able to survive, through all of this and to continue on. So we've had to kind of knuckle down and decide what we really want to be doing. And I'm focusing on my book writing and going out in the field and getting back to what I love doing, and also this radio show. So these are the two areas that I think that I'm fated to be doing my thing, and I like helping other groups here. So we like to feature other paranormal teams here and what they're doing. And so if you're listening and you do want to be on, definitely give us a yell, because we like to see what other guys are doing and gals out there, and talk about your techniques and what you've learned and feature what you're about. But the other thing is I've been in talks to do some books about Northern and Southern California, and also about ships, haunted ships of all things, in the west coast here of California. So we're going to be doing quite a bit of travel in the very near future and on into 2010. And hopefully, against all odds, if the economy picks up, despite the fact we're printing money faster than we can possibly pay for anything, it's amazing I can just make money by printing it. But, I'm trying to get all these things in before, like this EM pump at $55. I think a year from now it'll be $550 at the way it's going. So that's basically what's going on with some of these new events around. I mean, the EMF pump and the Brent Fair issue on Odyssey Star. Yeah, Brent Fair, I'm going to return to that briefly. That guy, that was amazing. I mean, he did a heck of a job on these websites. They looked really professional and well done, and they were, and he had put the money into it, and then basically the deal was he disappeared. All those people paid in, and he was gone. And wherever he is, he needs to know there's a whole lot of very interested people with badges looking for him. So I would not want to be him right now, and I chose not to get angry. A lot of people were, and Bob and Summer, I will give them this. They faced the onslaught head on, and there were a lot of really angry people in their face, and it was association, guilt by association, and not really seeing the picture. And I had used some of my contacts and resources to really check into them, and found out that they were the real deal, and very, very sweet people, and just got caught in the wrong place at the wrong time with him, with Brent Fair. And he left them hanging with them as the treasurers, but with no access to any of the records or anything like that. So it was very difficult for them, and they've now assumed control. This is very good to see. And I think it's going to be just a bang-up event. And I think what will happen out of this is that they could actually turn this into something based on their reputation for doing the right thing. And so we're definitely going to stay in there with them. And I wanted to say that the other guests who are going to be there, Chip Coffee, I actually got the opportunity to talk with him for about a half hour when all this was happening. And Kristen Gartland has messaged me a couple of times with regard to this, all of this. They are doing these events pro bono. They are not getting paid to go out there. They're being flown out there to do it, and they're doing it because they want to not leave the fans hanging. And they are some really special people. And so my respectometer went up quite a bit with these two. Definitely just high quality performers and people who are really tapped into understanding what the fans are all about. So my hat's off to both of them. And also Rob Demarest, from Ghost Hunters International is going to be one of the confirmed guests over at the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum event on September, I think it's the 18th, 19th, 20th. And that event will feature possibly some other talents. So I haven't heard any more from Bob about what's going on with that. But definitely this thing is really beginning to look like it's going to be a lot of fun, actually. One of the things that's going to happen, too, by the way, on the Hornet event is the captain's there were two basic packages. The captain's package, which was, I think, $125 initially and still is, you can actually now stay overnight where you couldn't have stayed overnight before, but you just can't go on the hunt. For those of us who are on the Admiral's package like myself, we can do the hunt and stay overnight. So the Captain's Package folks are going to be entertained by, I guess, Chip and Kristen are going to be doing some things. I am about to send out tomorrow a whole selection of my EVPs that they're going to play different folks' EVPs from Hornet. So I'm going to pull a few things together and get them a care kit. And hopefully that'll be played, some of that will be played for them to help them in some of their entertainment offerings. So we're going to definitely help them out there and take it from there. So, oh, boy, I'm really talking tonight. And usually we have our shows scripted very carefully. We actually write these shows. So I'm sitting here kind of going by the seat of my pants and making it work. So my lone guest out there, Frank, I sure appreciate you being there. And I'm sure I've got some other lurkers out there who are not in the chat room. So it's good to see all of you out here. And again, you know, what a great thing it is to be, you know, having the ability to do these shows over the internet like this. I've been doing this about 9 months now, and I still kind of marvel at the fact that I go to work every day, work in my job, come home, grab dinner, and then I step into this studio, which has become something quite sophisticated with the full mixer sets and the Skype hookups and the multiple laptops now doing all the chat controls and the switchboard systems, and that you can actually do this, and that it's available to the common man to be a broadcaster now. So I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking back through some old show notes here, and we were doing some things with audience participation, and I'm just jumping back here. I wanted to make again, there's a challenge that I'm going to post out here to folks that are listening. We're talking about the next full moon, which is coming up September 4th. So tomorrow will be the 2 days before the full moon. It'll be September 2nd. And that'll be the time at which supposedly most spiritual activity takes place. So I'm challenging folks to kind of take notes of maybe they might see something. Oh, hi, Kilu. Nice to see you there. Welcome aboard to the chat room. But I'm challenging folks to come on later, and maybe if they've taken their notes as to what they might have picked up here during this September, basically 2nd through, let's say, the 6th, and see if you can keep a few notes of what paranormal activity you might notice that you might otherwise would not notice around your area, or if you're in a haunted home or you know a place that's haunted, and maybe you want to go pay a little attention to it and see maybe if you notice any increases. We definitely like to hear about that because we've been told, definitely out on some cases, including one recently when we were last May, I think it was May 31st, we were out at the Gold Hill Hotel in Virginia City. And we were told by the staff there that the activity does pick up very noticeably 2 days before full moon, and then on through, and then 2 days after, and it begins to die down. And the same thing with new moon. So we're going to test this theory out, and then the following, like mid-September, we'll repeat this experiment. And we're going to ask folks to try kind of keeping an eye out for activities that they, you know, if they are around a lot of paranormal type events, to see if they notice anything, notice any shadows or anything like that near the new moon. And so this is sort of a casual experiment, you know, just take some notes, keep a piece of paper handy, date, time, what you saw, and if you get the chance to post it in an email, we'll read that on the air as you know, on one of our Friday shows, and we'll talk about it. Maybe if you even want to come on and talk about it with us, we'll be glad to. So, yeah, full moon to look for ghosts in the woods, preferably with a friend. Very good, Keelu. Yeah, what do you do if you meet a ghost in the woods and you're alone? Now, I want to post that to you. And if it has that happened to you, I'd like to hear that one. Anyway, so definitely we're looking at that. Another thing that's kind of just in our queue of things to get to is the whole notion of the TAPS premiere episode. There were a lot of people writing in about that whole notion of the K2 EMF detector that Grant and Jay had placed on that water heater power coupling. And basically a lot of people were writing in and saying things, and I saw it in other places around the paranormal world on the web, talking about how any results they got from that were all suspect because they set it on top of a bunch of wiring with power. And I think that they probably had turned the power off, because they wouldn't have got those sort of results without the power having been off. If they had set the devices down, I got thinking about this, and I just want to run it by the audience. Oh, yes, Kaylee says, yes, you had experiences. Now tell us what experiences you had. This is good. Anyway, the point I'm going to make on this whole issue of the K2 is that Grant and Jay would have seen that meter go off consistently if it was a power coupling and the power had been live. There would have been an RF field that would have been constant, not a set of events like what happened with them. I've seen my K2. I have one myself, and I've seen my K2 go off in some pretty interesting ways, including one area which we had when we were in Bodie in June. We were investigating the Bodie State Historic Park, where I thought I had spirit communication. It turned out it was my cell phone. And we since have learned, and recommend anybody else out there doing hunting, is before you get your team out there and you think you got results, have everybody turn their cell phones off before they go out and are investigating, especially if they've got EMF on, EMF gear, because believe me, it was a rough lesson. I suddenly realized it was my phone and held it up, and it was doing periodic data transfers between the phone and the nearest cell tower. So that seemed to resolve the issue, but we did have a few unexplained events later after that. So definitely watch out when you're doing your paranormal investigation that way. So we're going to take a few minutes here. It's 8:27. We're going to take our customary half-hour moment of break. I'm going to grab something to drink because it's we got a lot of smoke in the air from all the fires in the area. Auburn, which is just to the west, sort of northwest of us, had a really bad fire. And out here in California, we're having some really tough ones. As you all know about Southern California, well, Northern California is just as dry, and there was a massive blaze here over in Auburn, and it burned whole blocks to the ground. So a lot of folks lost their houses here, and we're currently in a mode. We're trying to, in the coming few weeks, we're definitely clearing out a lot more of the brush around this place, because it's I'm definitely in the middle of a fire trap myself. I don't want to see my studio burn down. Not a good idea. So anyway, we're going to take a half-hour break and, not half hour, but a three-minute break, half-hour break during a radio show. No way. We're going to go ahead and pick something good here. And I think we're going to start with some Ghosts of White Linen.
Ghosts in white linen, never touching the ground. Kids ringing doorbells, making their rounds. Ran out of Snickers, I don't have any more. A pack of Bart Simpsons threw eggs at my door. If I catch you, I'm gonna get you. Oh, you bastard, I'm gonna catch you. Never
just what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Better party they gon' have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp. Sasquatch dancing around the two Bigfoot boogie in the fairly ground. Eddie the Lizard, he a beating the drums, and Moccasin Jaws, he's a running his gun. Stan the Snake, he's a playing the bass, and he'd a be partying all over the place. Old Gator Ralph, he'd a riding his bow, and he'd a be jamming with Moccasin Joe. A Sasquatch doing a brand new dance. The Bigfoot boogie in the fairy land. Do the Bigfoot boogie. You're the Bigfoot boogie. Ain't nothing but a Sasquatch dancing around it. Do the Bigfoot boogie in the fairy ground. Get it, boy. Last night to a terrible sound, well, a whole lot of noise, something shaking the ground. I crept in the swamp where they were getting down. Do the Bigfoot boogie in the fairy ground. Do the Bigfoot boogie. Oh, yeah, the Bigfoot boogie. Do the Bigfoot boogie in the St. John's walls. Eddie the Lizard, he a beating the drums. Yeah, old Moxie George, he's running his gun. Snake, he's a playing the bass, and he's a beat partying all over the place. Yeah, old Gator Ralph, beat a rotten bow, and he's a beat jamming with Moccasin Joe. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, he called the Bigfoot Boogie in the fairy land. Do the Bigfoot Boogie, doing the Bigfoot Boogie, chomp, chomp, yeah, the Bigfoot Boogie in the St. John's Wall.
Troops is filmed on location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah. What her experiences are out there walking in the forest and seeing ghosts. And she saw a woman, I guess, that was shielding what looked like a spirit baby. And as she says here, as I stared at her, she turned from me, and she acted like she was scared. So I just kept walking. She turned from me, and like she was protecting her baby from me. And she says she saw a number of other spirits that night. And it's too bad that the place is no trespassing. So, you know, and that's actually kind of a good thing in a lot of ways. What you're recognizing is a lot of folks will go in into places, especially groups that are sort of misinformed, and they'll break the law and go into graveyards or into spots that they shouldn't be into. And it's really dangerous at night to do a lot of investigation. As a matter of fact, I mean, basically with the way my team is laid out and the way we do things, we do some night activity, but we're very careful, and it's always in multiples with the groups, and we're always set to move very slowly and not be in a hurry, even if we do have an experience that might surprise us. But if you're out there alone and you're walking into something and you panic or you fall and hurt yourself, there's a whole range of negative things that can happen. So definitely, what's dangerous about walking at night are the locust trees in my area with the 4-inch long spikes. Yeah, getting impaled and dying is joining the ghost and becoming one yourself on the hunt is not a good way to work it out. So anyway, I'm glad you made it out of there, but you at least had the experience of seeing that girl. Now, I wonder if you can get back into that property and get permission. Maybe that's something to do. We've had our luck with that, where we'll, if we nicely approach and go talk to some people about getting into a supposedly closed place, we've been able to talk our way in. Most recently, we were able to get into the Millionaires Club over in Virginia City. We actually got in for free into a pay place and got about an hour's investigation in there. And one of our investigators, a gal by the name of Vicky, she got basically felt up by a couple of male spirits in there. And it was a very interesting set of moments when we were, she's looking at me all surprised, and I said, go with it. And we decided to have some fun with it, and it turned out to be a positive thing, although she was left with a dirty handprint on her legs, one of her legs. So it was definitely, and we got photographs of that, so it was very interesting. We've got quite a few of the EVPs from that event logged and ready to post, and we're going to be doing a pretty mass posting of our summer's hunts here on the GRI site. So the reports are nearly done. We're going to actually be going out on the road in September and into October to do our reveals. And we first of them are going to be the hunt we did in May over at the Bookery in downtown Placerville, which is Placerville. A lot of people just pass through it and they think, oh, yeah, well, you know, it's a bygone era there and not much going on. Well, let me tell you what, that was old Hangtown. A lot of shootouts, a lot of death, a lot of, surprisingly, a lot of Civil War activity, believe it or not. Yes, in California, happened. And definitely we've had our experiences, especially in Georgetown. We've had references to me being called the Damned Yankee. Damned Yankee is what we picked up on one of them in an old in a bar that used to be actually a morgue. They've got a bar in downtown Georgetown that was a morgue. And it was a union, I guess a union morgue, or actually I'm not sure it was union. It might have been Confederate. And there were definitely kind of forces from both sides over here in this state. So a lot went on far away from what happened in the South with the actual fighting. And there were definitely traces that we still find here. But the Bookery haunting, we actually had probably one of our most active investigations, because I had a chair that basically picked up and thrown right in front of me. 5 feet away, it lifted off and threw itself, and then we actually had a run-in with a full-blown apparition. I got within 2 feet of it, and it was a very shocking moment, because it stepped around a corner at the same time I did, and I came face-to-face with it. So I know what you're going through, Kilu. That's definitely one of those moments where your eyes get kind of wide, and you go, wow, did I just see that? And what was funny is I think the spirit was just as surprised as me, because it jumped back just like I did. And later on, we got an EVP that said, it was funny when I did the EVP analysis, we got an EVP right after that, and they were basically laughing about it on this EVP. So when I post this, we'll do a show about this particular store that we did our thing on, and we're going to do the reveal with the owners, and then I'll try to get them on and play some of this for them and get their reactions on air. So we're going to work on that to see about getting them in as guests. But we've had a pretty active year, despite the fact that the economy has done so much, again, like I was talking about earlier, so much to the different groups. And we have Kalina Moon. Hey, good to see you. You're a regular out here. Now, welcome aboard for tonight's special show. And anyway, I'm going to we're coming up on 8:39 here in the Pacific time zone, and I'm going to just kind of reread a couple of items here for the folks that are definitely interested in going into the Haunted Hornet and Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum events. If you have tickets for these, either the Haunted Hornet event through Odyssey Star, or the Scare Asylum event through Odyssey Star, and that's the Hornet is on September 5th. That's over in Alameda, and the Scare Asylum is over. Event is at the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. I actually said that all in one word there, and that's good. And that's going to be September 18th, 19th, and 20th of 2009, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we're going to, that's over in Weston, West Virginia. So those events are still a go, despite all the terrible things that happened with the creator of Odyssey Star up and leaving it with the money, and leaving two people who really are stand-up folks to keep this thing going. So if you go out to www.hauntedhornet.blogspot.com and www.scareasylum.blogspot.com, the latest information will all be out there, and the ticket prices and different things, because they are still selling tickets to get in and do their thing. And they are going to have some interesting talent, folks I've actually had the very great pleasure to speak with. Chip Coffey will be there, and we also have Kristen Gartland from TAPS, case manager there, and a real nice gal. Also, we've got, I'm trying to find my paper, I'm looking really close here, and we've got the gentleman who runs Ghost Hunters International, and if I can find, oh, yes, here we go, Rob Demarest, and I've actually hunted with him, nice guy, he's great to hunt with. I hunted with him over at, in Fresno, over at the lunatic asylum there, the Clovis Sanitarium, and that was probably one of the most haunted places I've ever been. If you ever get the chance to go to that particular haunt and get a chance to spend some time there, definitely bring every protection charm you've got, because let me tell you, when you get out of there, you're going to feel like you've been through a workout. But the EVP stuff you get out of there is spectacular. I walked out with a boatload in 6 hours of work, and the K2 was just going off like crazy, even in places that it shouldn't have been. We went out to a spot in the back of that particular building, and went out in a field where there supposedly had been people murdered in the distant past. Started talking about it. I was talking about it with another gentleman from another group, and we're out there, and my K2 just started going crazy. Every time we talked about the murders out there, it went nuts. And there was no way it could have been anything around us that was causing that. No cell phones. We checked that, and we were making sure that nothing was going off. So definitely an interesting place. If you ever get to Fresno, go to Clovis, and look up that place and see if you can get in contact with them and get a tour in there, or if they have an event, get a ticket, because it's worth going. Let's see. What else have we got going here? We're at 8:42, and I was just on the other day with Richard Phillips from the Second Ship, and I wanted to, for those of you who didn't get to listen to that show, that was one of the best we've ever done. So if you get a chance to go out on the archives, go look for our last Friday show, because that was just flat out a lot of fun. Actually, it was not the Friday show; it was a Saturday show, because we had some things moved around. We're back to we're going back to normal Friday shows after all this craziness with midweek shows and all that starts to go away. We'll be back to our normal every Friday at 8 o'clock run. And the reason, by the way, we moved to that is because we're going to be doing a lot more hunting, because for the book research. But anyway, the amount of UFO stuff in this book is amazing, and the technology discussions that I had with Richard was just something else, and we actually got hold of him before Coast to Coast AM had him later that night, and I hope we primed him up pretty good. It was a great interview. I'm going to have him back. He's sending me some signed copies of the next book in the series, and this is definitely, it's called The Row Agenda, book one of The Row Agenda, The Second Ship. So I've got my copy here, and I'm about to finish it, because I didn't want to finish it before I interviewed him. So I stopped at about 80 pages out before I knew what the ending of this is. So this is going to be looked at tonight, and we're definitely going to have him back. By the way, I'm just going to kick it out there. Yeah, Kilo, definitely check that out. I wanted to ask the chat room, have any of you ever had experiences with UFOs, or have seen anything that you think that might qualify as something like that? Because I'm just kind of, and if you did, tell me what part of, when it happened and what part of the world you were in. Because we're doing some kind of informal checking into doing a little UFO investigation in addition to what we do with the ghost hunting. And And for various reasons, because I actually have some family who have seen some things. And we definitely have a case out near Lincoln, California, which that's basically about 20 miles north of Sacramento, you know, Northern California. And there were some events that happened out there around, believe it or not, an old Titan missile base that used to be there that's now deactivated and inactive and actually buried over. But it's definitely, we actually had our big family ranch was within sight of that, literally a mile away. And these events were transpiring in the late 50s into the early 60s. And I actually, as an infant, was actually present at some of these sightings. So my mother, I actually interviewed her on the show sometime back, and we're looking into doing that, you know, doing some more field work to go out and just see what we can find out about that and research the case. But I see none of you are kind of piping up about any UFO sightings, so I'm going to take it that we're the weird ones and we've seen stuff. Anyway, if you haven't seen one, then tell me what your belief is about it. Do you think that UFOs represent alien life, or do you think that there's maybe kind of a mix of explanations, or maybe you think it's all bunk, which I tend to think that you're probably not since you're here listening to a ghost show. Anyway, so we're going to be, we'll just kind of watch the chat room and see if anybody wants to talk about that. And I'm just going to wing through here. And see, Arizona Paranormal Research Society. So we ought to go check that out. And then I had the link here, and I'm going to scroll back in the chat room. www.tazps.com. You guys ought to go out and check that. I'm just going to run you all out to that website and see if it can do a mess. Give Frank a run for his money. Check out his site and see what he's got on there. I'll bet you they've got some great ghosts there in Arizona. I'm not sure what part of the state he's in, but go check that out. I like to occasionally do a test drive to see if we can get a whole lot of hits for somebody's website. Anyway, let me go back to the GRI website. And I have an article out on our site that I wrote yesterday, and we were talking about one of the things that was talked about earlier was Bill Chappell Digital Dowsing. I finally remembered the last name, Bill Chappell. He is selling these different paranormal devices, and I've covered that he was stopped selling the Ovilus and the Paranormal Pucks, and is going into a whole new set of devices. So he's retooling up, but he's offering a really great special on these EM pumps for $55 that you've seen on some of the other paranormal shows like Ghost Adventures. So I just put my order in the minute I saw it. I said, I got to have it. You know, it's going in the kit. But one of the things that I'm going to talk about here through the remainder of the show is UFOs have something to do with soul management. Now, explain that, Kilu. What does it mean, soul management? Do you think UFOs have something to do with ghosts or something to do with the soul, the immortal soul, and something that people who are... I got to know what you're meaning by that. So can you explain some more there, and then we'll just keep going on with what we're going here. But I'm talking about the whole notion of these pumps being able to attract ghosts. That got me thinking, and I wrote an article yesterday called Experimenting with EM and the Paranormal, and I'm just going to read a little bit of it. For some time now, I've come to the conclusion that ghosts and spirits are life forms. Yes, you heard right, and considering the following definition for life, and you'll see why. Now, life is defined as the characteristic that distinguishes objects that have self-sustaining biological processes, quote, alive and living, from those which do not, and either because such functions have ceased, which is death, or else because they lack such functions which are classified as inanimate. Now, in biology, the science that studies living organisms, life is the condition which distinguishes active organisms from inorganic matter, including the capacity for growth, functional activity, and the constant change preceding death. Now, it doesn't discuss about life after death, but if you were to take the inverse here and to take a look at this, what it means is that if if you are somebody and you pass on and you go on to become a ghost, and somebody comes out with one of these EM devices and it attracts you because you are basically energized by it, that is the same as putting out food and having somebody come consume it. And so the notion is that we're actually feeding these energies and actually providing them energy. They're actually eating this, if you will, although I'm not sure how they would do that, but the mechanisms are still not understood well. But the bottom line is they're getting power from these. And so that's the interesting part to us, is we're able to use these different electrical devices to provide literally a stimulus to them to be able to give them something, to be able to affect this particular dimension, this world. So I'm daring to remove the mystical definition from this whole notion of what a ghost is, and looking at them as just another form of life, albeit invisible to us, but having transitioned into something else, that another part of the universe that we can't see but can occasionally interact with. So I'm the article I've written goes on to talk about all this. And I think that not only the EM pumps can do this, but I've got a pet theory, and I've just recently picked up a one of these lightning globes. So I've got a picture of one of these on the website. And it basically, the idea is that, you know, a lot of folks were seeing ghosts, you know, way back before we ever came along with all these electrical devices and toys that we used. And I came to the conclusion that direct current seems to be the answer. So I'm definitely no engineer. I'm not going to claim that I know everything there is to know about electricity, but I can read schematics, I can build electrical devices, and I've done plenty of that. But it just, you know, I reasoned out in my own mind that if lightning and thunderstorms seem to stimulate paranormal activity, why not a lightning globe? So I'm going to be doing some experiments with these EM pumps, which are more of a portable way of doing things. They use a 9-volt battery and stimulate activity. But just think how much EMF radiation one of these lightning globes put off. As a matter of fact, I mean, they bury the needle with my EM gear. So if they're putting out that kind of energy and you have a spot that you think is paranormally charged and you've got access to plug things in into the electrical current of the house, you're creating a portable lightning storm. So I'm throwing that out there for people to think about, and maybe to for some of those folks that are in their own groups, think about how maybe you might be able to incorporate that and try it as an experiment and see what happens. I've got mine ready to go. It's an older unit, but it still works, and I'm going to kick it out and give it a shot. I'm waiting, like I earlier we did the challenge with the whole full moon thing. So since it's going to be some weeks before I get my EM pump from Bill Chappell in his shop, I'm going to go ahead and use this thing and try it out in a spot that I know is haunted outside, and set this thing up and then set a camera up and just wait and see and give it an hour and try it for a few nights and see what I get. So yeah, my challenge to you is give that a try. Experimental energy emitting research equipment. That's exactly it. Yeah. Oh, you've got a link to this. So you're actually working with this too. Let me go ahead and pop that up and see if I can find that. Boy, you guys have got a nice site. Yeah, let me take a look here. Yeah, you're doing definitely a whole bunch of research. Yeah, you've got, I love that thing with the handycam on the remote control unit. Now that is a neat idea. That reminds me of some of the military stuff I've seen our guys working with and different things that we do in the defense industry. And I've got some of the IR lights like what you have. But are you doing? You guys have got a bunch of gear. I'm just starting to catch up with you guys. You got a nice setup. In the powerhouse, the Vulture Mine in Wickenburg, Arizona. Now that looks like a place that I'd like to hang out for an evening. Thermal imaging cameras coming soon. Now you guys, that's serious dollars, guys. And boy, you guys have got it set. I'd love to hunt with you. Anyway, so you're experimenting with this stuff, I take it. So I guess a lot of this is on a lot of people's minds. But I mean, Frank, do you think that do you think that that's something that makes sense to you, that these lightning gloves, the ability to use Tesla-style devices to create direct current, fields and direct current lightning, if you will, would be something that a ghost might be able to use and utilize to help manifest or affect the environment? And so let's just see what you have to say about that. And we're coming up on 5 minutes from the end of the show. So it's been a good show, considering we had just got off work, grabbed dinner, and then came running into the studio to put together the impromptu show to help our good buddies over at the Hornet event and all that. But, he's on the phone now. Well, I'll tell you what, just go ahead and shoot me a message, if you will, and I'll read it on the next show. If you happen to show up on Thursday night, we're going to do another 8 o'clock show and kind of just wing it again to help our friends. And we'd like to talk more about this. So I'll save the notes from this evening's show and go on further with this, because I'm going to be doing the work tomorrow with this lightning globe idea of mine and see what we get. Well, we're going to basically put EM detectors out and set up some EVP recorders and then just see what we get, and maybe even a camera or two, and just focus on an area and just let the thing run and just kind of stand back and see what we get, and maybe try to stay for a while and interact with what's happening out there. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what's going to happen. The only way you're going to know something is if you just dive in and try. I'm hoping we just don't open a portal to another universe and create something horrible. But anyway, we're coming up to the end. We're 2 minutes out, so I'm going to go ahead and start winding the show down. And thank everybody for being here. Kalina Moon, Kilu, you've got some great stories, Kilu. And the soul thing, I still want to know what you have to say, the UFOs versus the soul management. So if you can mail me something on this, I'm interested in what you've got to say about that, because I need to know where you're coming from on that. There may be some metaphysical relationships with some kinds of UFOs. And I've noticed how UFOs, by the way, have a lot of appearance, like some of these strange orbs that folks see, like some of my team have seen in the field, around haunted areas. So there seems to be some overlap there. And so I have a feeling that maybe you might have some observations I'd like to hear. And I will talk on the Thursday show about a photo I have on my website of my grandmother's scattering, where we had two of those orbs appear right over where her ashes had been scattered. And I have that photo actually up on our website, so I'll feature that, and we'll talk about that. So we're going to go ahead and wind it down, and thank everybody for being here. And we'll be back on Thursday at 8 o'clock. And let's see if we can find a good song to wind it down. And I think we'll find the ghost theme. And so this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off. And thank everyone for a good night.
chipmunks roasting on an open fire, hot sauce dripping from their toes. Yuletide squirrels, fresh filleted by the choir. They poked hot skewers through their nose. Everybody knows some pepper and a garlic clove help to make them seasoned right. Tiny rats with a crisp golden coat will really hit the spot tonight. And now when Santa sees his train, there'll be some homemade chipmunk jerky for his sleigh.
Hey, look him up.
And every hungry child is gonna spy and so I'm brushing on some honey glaze to keep them crisp and juicy too. Let's hope they get served many times, many ways. Tasty chipmunks, good food.
On that, Mr. Cole?
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Sevilla.
Would you mind handing me the barbecue sauce? I am starved.
Oh, no problem, Dave. And listen, you best be having two of them drumsticks because they're oh so tatty and there ain't much meat upon them.
Put a sock in it, Melvin. You know, for years people said you overrated hamsters were my meal ticket. Now I guess you could just say, you're my meal.
That's a good one, Dave. I always knew you was the funny one in the group.
Damn straight.
And so I'm offering some recipes, from chipmunk pie to chipmunk stew. I'm not really sad that it ended this way. Furry chipmunks, screw you.
Did you hear that, Melvin? Melvin? Melvin!
Well, I'm sorry, Dave. Did you want Melvin? There's plenty of Thagador left, though.